Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Kim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Tuesday, July the 14th, 2015, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and good afternoon, everybody. We're honored that you're here, that you're with us. And this pursuit of understanding how to apply the ancient technology of forgiveness in order to remove the insanity that has come to govern in this non-human realm. So if you hold a newborn child, you get an experience of what a human being is, and sadly, human life is pretty much gone from the planet. And what we're here to do is to understand that the thing that blocked out the expression of this awesome presence of love that each of us is are the generational patterns and the thumbprints put upon us by our environment and the things that we didn't know any better than to refuse and bought into. And so we start out as human beings, and we apply the word being to human life. And where there is not the active presence of love, we apply the term non-being. And it's interesting, we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks since the movie Inside Out appeared on the scene. We've been discussing the five emotions, or the four emotions in the being that show up in the movie. According to the at least a couple of interviews with people involved in the making of the film, there are five emotions in the film, and my brain cells say something quite different. And I think that somebody in the production process is injecting something that others are not aware of, because of course if you look at the opening of the film, you see this creature inside of the young girl's head, you know, the newborn baby, and you're introduced to Joy. And I had ordered a couple of books, and there's one that's called The Emotion in Charge Today, Box of Mixed Emotions. And there's one book for each of the emotions that shows up. And it's interesting that the one that is labeled Joy starts out, and this is why I think somebody's putting something into it that the others aren't aware of. And the title of the little booklet is Joy. The others are titled with the name of their emotions, the ones with no light in them. But it's interesting that this little booklet starts out and says, here's Joy writing her story from the movie. And she starts out and says, I'm in charge of being. And then it's dot, dot, dot. Well, dot, 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 joyful. But being is just right there in the beginning. I'm in charge of being. We are human beings. We are not human doings. We are not human gettings. We are not human havings. We are not human angry. We are not human sad. We are not human terrified. We are human beings. And that means that the active presence of love is designed to govern the process of our lives. And so our work is that of restoring that active presence of love, restoring us to the truth of who we are, so that we actually function out of being, instead of out of the hostility and fear that the world has trained into us. So we're honored and delighted that you're with us. Welcome to the show. And let's say hello to Dr. Tim and see how that young man be.
I'm doing well, thank you. I was prepping for today, and I'm about halfway through the book, Outwitting the Devil, by Napoleon Hill. And it's quite an interesting read so far. I'm not sure I'm going to, you know, by the time I get through it. But, you know, fully halfway through, and it's been very consistent, that this book is right in line with the teachings, your teachings, Guy Finley's teachings, etc. And it was written by Napoleon Hill back in, 1938 or something, and didn't get released until 2011 because of the fear of people in the family that if it got released, they would be attacked. Because basically it just shines a light behind the curtain of all of those stories that there's some evil force outside you that's going to get you. And is much more in line with the ancient Aramaic understanding from the word Satana or devil or evil. It's just when you're off the mark or when you're afraid, then you drift away from your life purpose, or your awareness and your focus is shifted off of your life purpose, and then you don't accomplish what you can accomplish when you're focused on your true nature and on love and on your purpose. So I'm looking forward to finishing it, and I'm also interested in your input on it, because it is it's called Outwitting the Devil. It's by Napoleon Hill, but it was edited and annotated by Sharon Lecter. And it wasn't released until 2011 because people in the family who held the manuscript were afraid of the backlash from religious leaders, teachers, government officials.
From the community based in love.
I don't think they were worried.
It's kind of like, you know, when the original work was done by George Lamsa and Rocco Errico. I mean, he literally had death threats from those people who thought that they were about teaching Yeshua's teachings. He literally had death threats because he didn't go along with the King James thinking. And where you find fear, where you find death threats, you don't find God. You don't find any form of true religion in any way, shape, or form. Yet people have had that so beat into them, been so terrorized by it. And there's, I think, an example of it is the terror that the family had that, oh, my God, what if we actually put a truth? What will the world, it's based in viciousness and violence. Oh, nice to those close to them, but don't step outside their circle or you're dead, literally. And it's pretty bizarre and pretty crazy. And it's interesting that you you bring that up. About probably 8 or 9 months ago, I ran across a promo for that book and that it had been released. And I bought it on, not CD, but a subscription service that I have. And I just haven't taken the time to listen to it. So you inspire me. I'll go back and give it a listen, because it certainly, from the little bit I read about it, looked pretty powerful.
Yeah, It's worth a read, and it's right in line with what you're teaching and what I've found in every true school, spiritual school that I've been exposed to. And again, it's just it's a slightly different set of words, so it stimulates slightly different brain cells, and it might help me remember a little bit more often in a few more situations to nudge myself back on track whenever I'm off the mark. So, you know, I haven't discovered anything in the book that is, oh my gosh, here's the missing piece, and oh my God, we were so off the mark, and this is on the mark. It's all the same stuff, and I use these things as a way to just remind myself more often. So that's
okay.
My answer for today.
Right on track. Awesome. Cool. Well, you've inspired me, Tim. I'll go back and find that. I had it downloaded on my phone, but just have had more going on in my mind than to take the time to look at it. So I will do that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I sure do appreciate you having you on our team.
Well, it is a pleasure and an honor to be on that team.
Cool. Let's check in with Jeannie and see if she's got anybody with a hand up in the phone queue or anybody in the chat room with a question for us.
We do have a hand up, and it's area code 517. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, this is Tony from Michigan.
Hey, good sir. Welcome.
Hello. So, inspired by the conversations over the last couple of shows about responsibility communication, I have chosen to do that with a situation that I have with my internet provider, and I live out in the country and have to use a cell signal for internet data, and got charged a huge spike in gigabyte data that just didn't seem to match up. And I've had issues before with it, but this one was so extreme. And so I decided to do a responsibility communication letter this morning, and I thought if it's all right with you, I'd read the where I've gotten with it and then ask for your support in completing it.
Excuse me, I had my mute button pushed, but it's interesting. Last night we talked about responsibility communication, and Michael Coughlin read a letter that he wrote to his dad that was really powerful. And so we're probably going to start a section on the website for letters like this. So, when you're complete with it, perhaps you'd like to send us a copy, and it can be anonymous, but we'll put it on the web and make examples of responsibility communication available to folks, because I think it's more inspiring than just starting out on one's own. So, awesome.
Great, great. Well, this revealed that it's definitely a power person issue for me. So, that was good. So, shall I read it?
Please do. Go for it.
Okay. So, I'll kind of skim over some of the details, but on July 4th, I received a message stating that our home had used 9.2 gigabytes of data in 6 hours. This happened immediately after I came home from vacation and turned on my internet and computer after it had been turned off for 26 hours. Upon recognizing this on July 6th, I called a Verizon rep, and she asked questions to see what devices on my end could have done this. I expressed my disbelief that it could have been something on my end, as the amount of data used in 6 hours is 3 times more than has ever been recorded in a 6-hour period for the entire 26 months I've owned the service. The rep said she would file a dispute over the charges and also stated that she has never seen an error on Verizon's end be acknowledged. So then step two. So step three, I wrote, I had anger, fear, frustration, resentment, sadness, doubt, and confusion come up inside me. I'm willing to be 100% responsible for my reality and own that the thoughts which created my feelings came from inside me. The thoughts that created the following feelings were anger. You're blaming me when I didn't do anything wrong. Fear. I have no way to prove that it's not my fault. Frustration. it would take hours of my time and energy to prove that it's not my fault and it's not worth it to me. And that time is not worth it to me. Resentment? You're bigger and have way more money than me. Why don't you own the error and not charge me? Sadness. Why do I always have to pay for and accept what you say is true? I'm being abused and unfairly treated by you. Doubt. Maybe I'm the one who is wrong. Maybe I did do something wrong. Confusion. Is it a virus that I'm not aware of? Did I miss turning on an automatic update on one of my apps? Did Alan, my son, do something that I didn't know about? And hatred. Now I've turned into some evil accuser that Verizon is blaming my I'm just reading this for the first time since I wrote it, so. Hatred. Now I've turned into the same evil accuser that Verizon is by blaming myself and blaming my son. Sorrow. It's hopeless. This will never end, and there's no way out of this mess. So that's where I got this morning when I wrote all of that. I did feel quite a bit of energy moving in me. I could see the direct connection of a power person type struggle. And so if you play the role of Verizon for me, I'll just go ahead and on the show right now ask if you can support me in healing my issue.
Well, my first thought would be at this point that, you know, there's the old story about how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And it sounds like right now you've got about four elephants here. That it's a huge octopus of information that is going to be a challenge to communicate and work through in one scenario. My highest thought would be that now that you've written that and it's stirred those things, would be that you begin to work with some worksheets and clear up some of the dynamics that are showing up that are strictly internal, in terms of, you know, the confusion, the anger, the whole list of things that you went through. I would suggest that the next step at this point, it sounds like you've got a lot out on paper, and I would suggest that the next step would be doing some worksheets around each of those aspects that are clearly constructs in your mind. You know, the simple mechanical fact is there's an excessive amount of data been used, and your reality is that you're not responsible for it, and you're asking for them to be responsible. In the meantime, the rest of it is between your ears and, as you say, a power person dynamic. So at this stage, to get the clarity on that, I would say the next thing to do would be to start doing worksheets around the things that have been stirred.
Right.
And, you know, perhaps, you know, role play now, which would be a great idea, maybe one piece of the puzzle. Let's say, for instance, you know, maybe one that they would relate to directly might be frustration. You know, here I am in 6 hours and you want to charge me for 9 bits of that. By the way, there is no update of any way, shape, or form. In fact, I just last night, we have a similar situation. We're out in the boonies, so we have a satellite provider. And between midnight and 5 a.m., we have unmetered service. The rest of the time, we're very limited in how much internet we can use. So I've got a computer that just crashed on me, and so I pulled out my old laptop, which is kind of my backup, and it hasn't been online for a year. And after a year of being offline, it needed a half gig of updates. So I actually waited till shortly after midnight, set that up and got it running, and you know, got up and finished it at 5 o'clock this morning. So there's no app that can update and take that kind of data. It's just not conceivable. And so barring someone maliciously getting into your computer, which, you know, if you were there, it doesn't sound very likely, I would say there's definitely an error. And so maybe just role-playing, say, one aspect of it, the frustration, which they would tend to relate to, might be a place to go.
Yep. Yeah. And I was pretty much doing this letter kind of the way that Dr. Tim suggests. This is just for myself, and I wasn't in.
Yeah, just pour it all out. Exactly.
Yep, pouring it out, and it really did help. I've actually gone to the Better Business Bureau and addressed a complaint through there, and they've contacted me, and they haven't conceded that it's something on their end. And I recognize exactly what you've said, that there's no way 9.2 gigabytes of data, and I've checked all of my information, and there's just nothing that, you know, nothing that makes sense on my end that would account for that. So I've been addressed.
Unless there's some kind of a virus might be involved, and of course that would be a contractual thing to look at. If there's a virus that interrupts, is it your fault, their fault, their virus, your virus, and who's responsible for it would be a different issue to address. But it sounds like one of the major things that's up is frustration, and certainly a company that you would contact and experience that frustration would relate to the frustration. And so why don't we role play it? Have you got the sheet in front of you with the 7 steps on it?
Yeah,
let's go for it.
So we're at number 4. This tool is used to manipulate them.
Why don't we start out right from step 1? So remembering that communication is, I have a reality in my mind that I want to transfer intact into your mind.
Yep. So I commit to...
And so the commitment to communicate.
I commit to communicate with you about this situation. And invite that I have an issue. I would like to your help in process. I'm asking you... I have an issue. I would like your process. Okay.
Well, sir, we're a corporate business called Verizon, and I don't know what you mean by processing, but it sounds like maybe what you need is a therapist.
Well,
that's what you're
gonna get. Yeah. Right. That's why I was doing this on paper and not with them. But I've asked for you to role play. I'll go along with that. So, I've observed that, I guess I won't go through the whole thing, but because I've already done that on the show. So.
The basic,
so that there's been a 9.2 gigabyte data spike, and on my end, I've covered all the bases that I know how to cover, and it doesn't seem to be anything that is happening on my end, and so I'm looking to have a resolution, and I haven't seen any resolution yet on your end.
Well, so I can take it to our technical department, but as we said before, I've never seen a mistake made on our end. You know, our company's pretty perfect and just doesn't make mistakes like that.
And when you say that there's no mistakes that happen on your end, and I have information on my end that appears to me to not be resulting in the data spike, it brings up frustration in me because I feel like I have no, if feeling that comes up for me is the frustration, and the thought that creates that feeling is that I have no way of resolving the issue because there's no clear information on where the data spike is coming from. And
so then what you're asking us to do is to prove that you use that data.
Yeah, I would like to have some proof that that data has been coming from my devices.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk to our technical department in the meantime. I certainly understand your frustration. In fact, I've had situations like that happen before myself. I understand your frustration, and I'm not just sure what to do about that. I understand that you have this tool called forgiveness.
Yes. Yep, I have a tool called forgiveness where so the frustration that is coming up in me is my frustration, and I know that it's coming from the thoughts inside of my mind, and so I guess what I'm asking, if you're willing, is support and healing the issues that I have around my frustration.
Okay, anything I can do, sir? We're here to help.
Yep. Do you have any ideas that would help me in letting go of my pain and any blockage of truth that I might have?
No, I really don't have much I can say to you, sir, about that.
Okay. And let's see here.
So this is the place. This is the place. Then, Tony, you would inject. What's your thought? What's something they could do that could bring resolution for you and the situation?
In healing my pain. What's something that they could do? I guess. I'm not sure if they can do anything, actually. I mean, they can hold the space first. Or you can hold the space for me while I breathe through the frustration that I'm feeling.
Yeah, and from, you know, taking off the Verizon hat, the role-playing hat for Verizon for a minute, it sounds like perhaps the issue really comes down more to fear than frustration. I mean, frustration that you can't seem to get anywhere with them, but it sounds like, you know, perhaps it's a fear issue in that, you know, what kind of crazy money are they going to be wanting to take out of your pocket?
Right. The fear of awful on my end of what if I have overlooked something and, you know, it's my fault. But I guess there's also the fear of that it's still going to continue happening, even if it isn't my fault. I won't be able to do anything about it.
All right, well, we'd have to check with the technical department to see about that one.
Right. Kind of lost where we are with the responsibility communication.
So it's at this stage where you're talking to somebody who has no idea about the tools, and that would be kind of like, you know, the person when you start out and say, gee, I have an issue, I'd like your support and healing, and they jump in and say, well, I'm glad you have an issue, I hope you suffer. That's exactly what I intended. You know, then responsibility communication is a tool that will serve me to use. It's going to assist me in looking at deeper and deeper parts of my mind, but it may not necessarily be functional with them as a company. Although I've seen companies respond very powerfully and to responsibility communication.
Well, we actually have, I mean, at least to the degree that we have been communicating from what my perspective is anyway, pretty responsibly. That's why I've taken the opportunity to kind of write all this down, and I've been using it more as a tool for myself, like you're suggesting. I'll probably end up doing several worksheets. I did quite a bit of breathing and processing when I brought the these emotions up and the thoughts behind them. So it's very helpful. And I just actually, just before I called you, I wrote a response to their response on the Better Business Bureau, and I felt pretty clear about what it was that I wrote. And
I think I heard Jeannie's voice in the background. Jeannie, did you have a thought?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, you know, I had run into kind of a similar situation with a big corporation that you would think that there's no winning, and it was actually with the IRS, and they had sent me a notice that I owed, like, you know, $2,000 back taxes on something having to do with school, when I was still in school. And so it's like, you know, I did a couple worksheets, you know, around, oh my gosh, you know, I don't have this money and, you know, all of this, and I breathed. And then I called them, and the lady answers the phone. And I basically, you know, I didn't go through the whole process there, but I basically, you know, I gave her a quick synopsis of, I got this letter from you all stating, you know, that I owed this back money. And, you know, I'm a little confused because I use H&R Block program to do my taxes, and you know, I filled out this form and that form, and you know, I'm just not understanding what I have missed. You know, what form do you need to show that, you know, I'm on the up and up, that I didn't try to, you know, take some benefit that I wasn't eligible for? And I said, I would just like for you to explain to me, you know, what you're missing or what I'm missing. And she said, hold on just a moment. And then she came back, and I'm just sitting there breathing. And she comes back on, and she says, we are so stupid. And I'm like, what? And she said, you know, I'm sending you a letter right now. She said, let me verify your email address. You don't owe us anything. You know, it's our error. Everything's cool. And I'm going to send you verification that you don't owe us anything. And I'm like, thank you very much. And I hung up the phone, and I'm like, wow. I mean, it was just, you know, I think if I had called, you know, in a rage and, you know, you did this and you did that and you've cheated me and, you know, and did all this accusation, then it would have been a different result. But I did worksheets first, and I breathed, and then I called her and just very calmly and stayed in a connected space, even though I could still feel the fear, you know, in the background, you know, of, oh, no, they're going to tell me I owe this. I still, you know, stayed as connected as I could and basically kind of gave a brief explanation of it and said, you know, I'm not sure what I'm missing or what you're missing, but I would like a further explanation of this. And I mean, that was the outcome of it, and it was just amazing. So in my perspective of asking her to help me instead of saying, you know, I've got this issue and I want to process it, I did say I have this issue that I'm confused and I don't understand, you know, and what I would like is for you to explain to me, you know. So I actually, instead of just saying, do you have a solution, I kind of put out there, you know, I would like for you to explain to me what I've missed or what you've missed or what we need to clarify this. And so I kind of put out there what I wanted them to offer as a solution.
That's a good input. I'm thinking about what I just wrote, and that's when I got to the end, that's kind of maybe what I was leaving out of what it was that I wrote, or you know, what I wanted when I was writing.
Right. And you've got to be specific, because if you just leave the ballpark
yep.
open for them, you know, then you're liable to get all or nothing.
Right,
so just kind of to pull it down, and you might want to go back and just reread and break it down a little bit, you know, simpler, instead of listing all of the issues that are going on for you. Maybe pick
yep.
your top ones.
Right. Very good.
But good job, Tony.
All right, thanks.
The other thing I'm moved to point out here is that the responsibility communication tool is not a tool for me to get my bill reduced with any major corporation.
Right.
It's a tool for me to use to heal my anger, my fear, my sadness, to get clear about how I'm creating that. And it might be that when you get to step 7, in that completely calm, loving state, returning your awareness to your true nature as love, that you engage in a problem-solving scenario, but the primary purpose of the tool is, just like Jeannie was saying, do the worksheets, do the communication before you call them. So you call them from a space of calm, because this work is all based on the realization that if I'm feeling anything unlike the active presence of love, I've shifted my awareness off of my true nature and I'm focused on something I have no control over that's false and that's generating the emotions I'm feeling. And my first primary responsibility is restore the condition of love to my mind. Reset Rockman Kuba as many times as it's needed. Get to the point where I realize I am an eternal being. I am not somebody who owes this corporation $3,000. This is a temporary ripple in the time-space continuum. My true essence is connected to something far greater than that. And my job with the responsibility communication, as one of the many tools in my toolkit, is to restore my awareness to that true nature, and then and only then decide how I want to interact with other people in the time-space continuum.
Right. That's very good.
Worksheets. Worksheets.
Yep. Well, I just called because I thought it was relevant to what you've been talking about for the last couple of shows and what was up for me. And so I appreciate you guys taking the time with me. And that really helped, all the information, especially what Jeannie had to say. I just noticed it's a part of my mind that wants to hide the truth of what it is that I'm really wanting from my power person. So I think that's my first place to go with these worksheets. So.
Awesome. And I think it helps to clarify. I mean, this is probably one of the most difficult scenarios you could be looking at. So it really helps to clarify that whole process and how to keep going back inside and what's the next layer, what's the next piece of my puzzle that I need to heal, and then come out as that active space of love and open a whole different game.
Great.
So we appreciate
much.
The call. Okay,
right.
Blessings, lots of love. Alrighty, bye-bye. Great input, Jeannie. Back to Tim. Anybody else with a hand up in the phone queue or happening in the chat room?
No, chat room's really quiet, and there's several people on the switch board, but nobody else has their hand up. So if you're already out there, press 1, you're first in line. And if you're just listening, dial 646-200-4169, press 1, and that puts you in queue. We did have an awesome workshop last night with the support group, and a lot of things came out and came together, and everybody had input, and it was real cute the way that it, you know, everybody was supporting each other. And actually, one participant actually looked over at Michael and said, "Is this what it's like having a brother?" I thought that was really cute, but it was. It's kind of like family. We're all sitting around the table and doing the meals family style this week, and so it's been a really good energy. I think we're getting a lot of projects done.
Definitely. On track. So our call-in number, if you're on one of those stations that we don't have in our control panel, we can't see you. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We would love to hear your voice. If you have a thought or a question about any of the work that we do, and if you want to find the instruction set for responsibility communication, that tool is laid out on the website. If you go to www.whyagain.org, and in the center of the page, you might have to scroll down a little bit, you'll see a nice big red bullseye. Click on that bullseye. And if you just scroll down the list or you do a search, you'll find responsibility communication. The 7-step instruction sheet is there for free download. Powerful, powerful tool. And of course, when I start to do, if I never say a word to anybody else using the tool, I've come closer to telling myself the truth and looking at what I need to look at, dealing with what I need to deal with in order to move to the other side of my hostility and fear-based mind. So it's an awesome process to engage in.
646-200-4169.
Go ahead, sweetie.
I was just going to say, while we're waiting on someone else to put their hand up, I was actually working on next summer's intensive brochure to send, because we have a church in Florida who's wanting to be promoting it for us already, and that's awesome support. But it just made me think, you know, several people have called, and it's kind of funny. It's kind of like the radio show, you know, they wait till the last 3 seconds and then want to get a question in, and it's like self-sabotage, and they can't do it because they run out of time. And it's kind of the same way. It's like, you know, nobody responded about coming to intensives hardly, and so we changed the schedule around, and then people started popping up here and there going, oh, well, I was thinking about doing this one, or I was thinking about doing that one, and I had actually just typed on the new brochure for next year, those that are pre-registered are notified of changes. And so, you know, if you might want to kind of discuss, you know, the changes that we have made and where we're going and kind of what it's looking like down the road.
Okay, sounds like a good idea. And, of course, our Food Fund Forgiveness is underway. We're in the middle of a 10-day process. And Food Fund Forgiveness and Work, actually. And it's kind of the economy program at Heartland. And we're doing work projects during the day and workshops in the evening. And then on the 24th of July, we'll begin the only other confirmed intensive that we're doing at this point for this summer, which will be a 16-day Laws of Living. So that'll start on the 24th of July and go through August the 8th. So if you're interested in joining us for that, it is going to be a small group. It seems that getting people to travel is a challenge. Since 9/11, we've seen a big downturn. You know, when we do things intensives locally, we're seeing a big upturn. And when we do things back here, we're seeing a downturn. So not sure what that's all about. One of the ideas of having a center like this is to have a space where people can really tap in and in an energetic space deepen their experience of the tools. And that's something that's not easy to do in an intensive on the road at the same level that we can do that when we're back here at Heartland, where we've got a space that's been 25 years, 26 years in development and moving forward with supporting people in the healing process. And we've got lots of projects on the plate and lots to keep up with in order to keep it moving, along with being on the road for 9.5-10 months at a time. It's sometimes a challenge, and we certainly appreciate it when our friends kick in and support us in handling that challenge and making it available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, because that's what our commitment is. So Laws of Living will be the intensive that we'll do starting on July 24th, and there have been a couple of inquiries about the others that we just kind of put on hold, and if enough people were to jump in, we would probably add or schedule another, but at this point it's not looking likely. And I did make a commitment to someone that we would add in some of the communication. Did you hear what I think I said? Practicum to the Laws of Living. So we're going to add to the process, putting in at least a couple of sessions of responsibility communication. You know, we get people real life issues and have them come up in front of the room, hold the worksheet in hand, and step-by-step go through it and support them in, you know, when things run off track and getting back on track. And so, you know, the difference between describing the objective actuality of what happens and the reality in our minds and the conclusions that we come to based upon our realities is the difference of night and day. And, you know, when I create conclusions about something that someone else does, and I say, well, you did that, what I'm really saying, unless my mind's really clear and tapped in on an intuitive level, what I'm really saying is, if I did that, that's what this would mean. Now, it may mean that when you do it, and it may not. But to recognize and keep pulling the responsibility back inside and keep moving through the layers of hostility and fear that have come from 1,000 generations of the craziness that exists on the planet and being restored to a true functional human mind, a mind that's totally and completely based in love, is ultimately what this work is about. And each of the tools that we use is about how to achieve that end, how to bring
Michael?
That about in. Yes, yeah, sweetie.
Okay, so we have a question in the chat room, and this is a good one.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So they have a friend. This person is in France, and their friend is in the United States. And they've attempted to work with them before, you know, about doing worksheets, and they say that they don't have enough time and it's too wordy, et cetera, et cetera. And then they proceeded to tell, you know, something about themselves and what was troubling them going on. So it's kind of a two-part here. So Camille told me.
Well, we can tell Camille that I have her package in my hand. I just finished about 2 minutes ago putting the address on it, so it'll be going in the mail today.
Okay, so you hear that, Camille.
Cool.
Anyway, she wanted to know about doing a surrogate worksheet. So after she got through talking to him, then she sat down and did a worksheet as if she were him, with his thoughts and feelings and the punishment, the goals, et cetera, and what's your thought on doing a surrogate worksheet. So I have two things to throw in, and then I'll let you address it. One is that on our website, if you click on the bullseye, it takes you to where the worksheets are, and click on the reality management worksheets. And there's several options. You know, of course, when we primarily do the current 7-step one, and you can go all the way up to the one that we do in teacher's training. But there's also children's worksheets there. And they're simplified. There's some of them that are for adolescents or teenagers. And I have actually used those before, even with adults who are not familiar with the work, you know, just to get them started with it. And so one is he doesn't have an excuse because he could do the simplified ones if he says he doesn't have time. But then you could also remind him he's got time to have the issues and talk to you about his troubles. So he's got time to do a worksheet, maybe one of your conversations. He'd be willing to do it with you and you walk him through. It'd be good, cool for you to share what you saw in the surrogate worksheet that you did for him. Now, my thought on that one is that usually, you know, when we're working with someone and they're not wanting to do the work and then we do a worksheet as if we're them, you know, there could be some power in that, but you can't do their work for them. That could show you something that it brought up for you, or like Michael just said, you know, if you said or did what they said or did, what it would mean for you. But you don't know for sure that that's what it means for him. So, you know, it's kind of like we did have someone a few years ago, they wanted to do a work exchange program here at Heartland so they could attend an intensive for free. And they wanted their church to send people over here to do the work exchange part for him. So it was like he had no investment whatsoever in doing the program. It'd be like, you know, if I had an issue with, say, my brother, and I asked you to do the worksheet for me, you know, that's not going to heal what's going on for me. So, you know, it doing a surrogate worksheet can show you some things maybe that the situation with your friend has brought up for you, but it's not going to clear it for him. However, you might can share with him and say, you know, okay, you don't have time to do a worksheet. I did one. I would like for you to listen as I walk through these steps and see if this fits for you. And it might open up the conversation then for him to jump in and say, yeah, that fits, or no, it doesn't, or it might give him a big aha. So what do you think on that, Michael?
Yeah, I think that's all excellent input. And I have seen cases where someone wasn't able to. Now, first of all, I wouldn't be going and trying to enter someone else's space and do a piece of work for them without their permission. I would definitely want someone's permission. And if he's in resistance to, and you know, I don't have time. It's interesting. It's one of the most common drugs on the planet. I'm too busy. We actually did or at least Rex and Michelle were doing a series in a prison in Ionia, Michigan, high security prison. And unless these prisoners have a job, and they might get to go to their job for 3 hours a day, they're in their cell for 23 of 24 hours. They get out of the cell for 1 hour a day. And they did an eight-week support group series. We started off and kicked off a program, and then Michelle Rex did an eight-week series. And the cost for going to the next level, they were going to do laws of living with the group. And so the investment that they were asked to make was to do five worksheets a day during this eight-week prequel. And this group of men who are locked in their cells for 23 hours a day, universally said, I'm too busy. I can't do it. I don't have enough time to do it. And that's just, you know, living in a state of resistance. And so my input would be that you just, you know, you maybe have more of an investment in this person's healing process than they do. And so you might look for ways to inspire them to step into willingness and make the space for what's important. As Jeannie said, you know, they've got plenty of time to talk to you about their problem. They could do five worksheets maybe in the time that conversation took place. And so that would be my input in that direction.
And I also suggested that she get him to watch the PowerPoint presentation. It's 24
yes.
minutes. It will help explain some of the work and everything. And she wrote back and said that her thought was that there is just one mind in the universe, and we all share that, and so that maybe by doing work, you know, would bring positive influence. And yes, it can, but you can't do their work for them. It might influence them to do their own work, but...
There's a cute Peanuts cartoon that Schultz had done several years ago. And Lucy is sitting in a chair in front of a television set, and Linus goes and gets her a drink and gets her pillows and fluffs her pillows up and, you know, gets her all comfortable. And after he does all this, you know, three or four frames of the cartoon, he's doing all this stuff to make her comfortable. He says, now, is there anything that I've missed or forgotten? And Lucy screams back, you know, the voice that Lucy uses in that cartoon, screams back, you've forgotten that I don't want to be happy. And you know, some people don't want to go there. And if somebody doesn't want to go there, you can't make them go there. You know, there's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Well, my take is that you can make them thirsty by demonstrating the possibility, helping to build the brain cells. But, you know, we each have our individual piece in this one mind. If it were functional as one mind, everybody would be on the same track and, you know, just having a blast as human beings. Unfortunately, that's not what's so at this point in the world. Something else is so. And there are different individuals who have their own individualized aspect of mind out of which they're doing their own insanity. That is, the things that are loveless. And I certainly join you in holding the space for that person, but over the years I've found I can't force somebody else to do their work. I can invite, I can't force. And I just question the ethics. I remember one time I took a course, this goes back about 30 years ago or more, and I took a course, and partway through the course they had people write down the name of someone that they knew that had some sort of disease or disorder, and turn it in, and then everybody drew cards, and what you were supposed to do was you were supposed to go in and heal that person. And it's like, whoa, no. I don't know if this person has created this disorder. You know, how long has it taken them? How many lifetimes, how many generations have they been creating this situation to motivate them to move into healing? And I walk in and snatch it out from under them, and now their motivation is gone. I question that. And so I think that holding the space is one of the most powerful things we can do. Actually doing someone else's work for them is. I'd certainly at least be asking for permission first. Well, okay, if you don't have time to do a worksheet, would you like me to do one? And I take it that, Camille, this is someone that you have a close relationship with and really care about and want to see healing happen for them, but sometimes that can be your opportunity to let go of attachment to that result with them. So that would be my input. And Dr. Tim, do you have any thoughts in that regard?
Well, I would just echo it. I think that, you know, both you and Jeannie said things I was thinking, and the biggest one is I can't do somebody else's work. So I would do the worksheets if I were in this situation and I was feeling stressed or tense or worried or upset because somebody else keeps making excuses for doing the work. I would do the worksheets on my stress or tension or upset or worry.
Right.
And you know, one of the, even for my own sons, one of the most useful things I've ever learned was the idea that, you know, you kind of tapped into it with your last comment, Michael. You said people come here and construct their realities in this life for a reason. And so I ran into that school of thought, you know, 30 years ago or so, and it really helped me in looking at my life and saying, my parents didn't mean to do this or that, and I'm responsible, and it's what I do with it that is more important than what happens. And then I had a chance to look at that another deeper level when I had children. And I started
down to about 1 minute.
Yeah. And I started to get all bent out of shape about what they would do or not do, and I had to realize, wait a minute, they're people too. And they have to make their own choices, and I have to learn to be okay with that.
Yeah, and sometimes the choices aren't pretty, unfortunately. Well, and if there are more questions, we certainly can continue the conversation tomorrow, but we are down to the last few seconds, so we'll just invite you to do your work, bring a stranger to the show tomorrow, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give. Blessings and thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.